Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by JL Financial Solutions. If you're an Albertan looking to plan your financial future, you want someone you can trust. Together with Sun Life's estate and financial planning services, JL Financial Solutions will develop a plan you can be confident in to grow and protect your wealth. Give Jonathan Lambert and his team a call at 780-733-0910.
Was the night before Game 7. Man, is there anything more sweet than Game 7? Maybe, just maybe, when your team's in it. Maybe that gets you even more excited. Just any Game 7's great to watch. The action's incredible. We got a full breakdown for you tonight. Get you tuned up and ready to go for the Game 7 in Florida tomorrow. Coming to you live from my Long Shot studio here in the office. All Oilers game nights during the playoffs are all-you-can-eat wings, $25 a person. Visit Long Shots in Short Park. And tomorrow's your last chance. This is the last game of the season for everybody. Everyone in the NHL is the last game. Then they hit officially the offseason Tuesday morning. Exciting times here, I think, across Edmonton. I've been driving around Edmonton. Can't walk two steps without someone stopping me, asking me for a prediction or what I think is going to happen. And, you know, I don't know. I hope that, you know, the Oilers are able to do what they want to do. I'm sure Florida fans will be thinking the same thing. For tonight, we have a little bit of a different setup. We got Craig McTavish, former NHL player, Stanley Cup champion, and Coach Oiler is going to be joining us here right away. And then most likely Rob Brown and Zuby will take us through the rest of the night. And we've got you. So tune in, check it in. Obviously, we'll have Ask Us Anything later on in the show to get it in. The show is brought to you by our good buddies at Assured Buick GMC. To celebrate the Oilers making it to the Cup Final, they're offering an incredible deal on their Sierra 1500s. Get ready to drive away with the best deal in town when you lease a new 2024 Sierra 1500 for just $450 per month for 24 months at 4.9%. Visit the crew at 10 Automall Road or online at www.gmcpod.com. All right, let's bring him in. Mac T, it's great to have you on the show tonight. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Strudge. Pleasure to be on the show with you. Looking forward, as everybody is, to tomorrow.
It's crazy. I mean, I know you live closer. You're in around downtown. I mean, every night must just be a circus atmosphere down there.
Well, it's hard on a lot of people down here. This has been a 60-day run for a lot of guys, and you know, it's amazing. It's an amazing facility what Darryl Cates has put in down here, and for me, it's way more inclusive than it used to be. I mean, there's a lot of people that can't afford whatever the tickets are, $1,500 or a couple thousand dollars per ticket. But if you're a fan and you still want to experience the games with other Oiler fans, you can do it at the at all the watch parties and the mosh pit down here, and there's just it's been an amazing couple months.
Been so much fun. Well, let's get to breaking this game 7 down tomorrow. In the breakdown, brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel. They specialize in heavy-duty truck and trailer repair, performance tuning parts, and sales. Adrenaline Diesel has 7 gigantic bays. And there's not much they can't figure out for you. The entire crew has extremely high standards. They will leave your truck in great shape like it's right out of the factory. Go to adrenalinediesel.ca. So, Mac, you know, you've been through Game 7 as a player. You've been through Game 7 as a coach. Let's start with first the player. You know, how do you control or manage your mindset, you know, on the eve of what could be the greatest day of your life or maybe one of the more frustrating or sad days of your life, winning a Stanley Cup?
I think you break it down to your baseline game as an individual. I mean, that's what I would normally always do is what can you deliver? What's your baseline game? You know, you can control a few things in this game, and it's execution, work ethic, and physical play. And I think if you start with that baseline game and then try and build out from that baseline game, I think that's the right mindset going into a game 7. I mean, there's the goaltending is really, in my mind, the only position that can be affected by pressure. As a forward or a defenseman, the game's so spontaneous that you really are reacting. You don't have time to be caught up in the pressure or choke situations. But goaltending, that's a different situation. I mean, you can be affected by the pressure. And it'll be interesting to see which one of these goaltenders is affected by that. I mean, Stu Skinner has played incredibly well. I love the fact he's a hometown boy. I mean, he's been through a lot in a short NHL career that he's had. And, really admire him for the toughness that he's exhibited in really crucial pressure situations. I mean, it's well documented that Edmonton is not a goaltender friendly market. There's a lot of pressure, a lot of scrutiny on the goaltending, and he's came through this, hasn't been beaten down from it, and actually has gotten better from it. So I think I love the Stu Skinner story. He's just got to throw one more game at us.
Yeah, it's just amazing, Mac. You look at him, and he, I've actually known him since he was in grade 9, and he was always a good goalie. And then you see him kind of just growing in a situation where he probably, when they signed Campbell, they probably didn't expect him to be this guy. But here he is, the starting goalie in Game 7, and it seems like he's better the second half of any series than he is in the first half of this series. So, I guess maybe you kind of get comfortable, or you kind of find your way, or understand what the shooters are trying to do, because I know that, shooters figure out the goalie, but maybe the goalie also gets a little bit more look at these shooters and kind of maybe figure it out. But he's like the second half, he's been lights out, especially when they're, in an elimination situation.
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing numbers for him. I think when he lost the net, and, you have to give a lot of credit too for this run to Cal Pickard, because when Stewie lost the net and Cal Pickard went in against Vancouver, I mean, he played two great games. And if he didn't play well in those games, we're probably not in this position right now. So I always like to acknowledge the contribution that he had when he went in. But I think, Dustin Schwartz, when you lose the net, that's when the goaltender coach is at his most, has his most impact. And he would have had an opportunity for a game or two to sit down with Stu and talk about things that he was or was not doing in his game. And for me, he's come back and been much more aggressive on primary scoring threats. And before he lost in that, I thought, he was pretty conservative. He stayed on the goal line. And when somebody comes in and you get a primary scoring threat, I mean, you have to get out of your net. You have to be aggressive, in my mind, and let the defense cover up the weak side or the second opportunity. And I think I'm seeing a lot of that now. And that to me is a noticeable change from where he was at before Cal Pickard came in and played two games. I mean, when the shooter comes down the slot, he's right out on top of him, which I think is wise. And that's, he's been much more aggressive in my mind.
Mac, now, as far as for Chris Knobloch, going into a coaching in Game 7, and for him, he's a very fresh-faced NHL coach. He doesn't have a full year underneath him, and he's been through so much dragging a team off the bottom of the ocean to now a Game 7 championship for the Stanley Cup, one winner takes all. So, maybe take us back to your Game 7 in 2006, and were you able to sleep the night before as a coach, or you're like, my work's done, or like, how does a coach kind of manage his 24 hours prior to, a really fun night, hopefully?
Well, I was able to sleep. I think, interestingly, I'm more disappointed about that loss in Game 7 now than I was the night it happened. I think, I really believe that our best was going to be good enough to beat their best. And we played so well in Game 6 that, we were completely satisfied with where we were as a group and as a team. I mean, I don't think we played a better game all year long than what we did in Game 6, but we just didn't get to that level again in Game 7, and Carolina did. But, I mean, I really, to this day, feel bad for a lot of guys that hadn't won Stanley Cups before. I mean, Ryan Smith, for sure, Jason Smith, Sean Horkoff, Alex Hemsky, Fernando Pisani, Rafi Torres, all these guys that, because of their commitment, got us there, and they really deserve to be on that, have their name on the Stanley Cup. But, we just didn't play our best game in Game 7, and they played very well. But, I still have a lot of regret about that game. And, you have to, I guess the lesson for me was that period one of Game 7 wasn't an extension of Game 6. And, you just have to be super prepared. And here I am 18 years later complaining and bemoaning the fact that we lost the game. And it says something to the current team, I think, that, I really believe that our best this year beats their best. So if we're on our game and we play our best game of the series, we're not going to be beat. And I really believe that. Will we play our best game of the series? That we'll have to tune in tomorrow to see. But certainly all indicators are that Florida is going to need a reset to try and beat us, and we're going to have to continue to play well.
Mac T joins us here, Craig McTavish, former NHL player and coach. Mac, let's talk about Paul Maurice for a minute. I've got a lot of time for him. I mean, he's been a coach for a long time. I'm pretty sure when I was in junior, we beat his Detroit team in the Memorial Cup. So, that's a bit of a heartbreaker for him and a good memory for me. But here he's trying to figure out what to do. And he had a practice today. Sergei Bobrovsky did not practice, which he went on to say is not unusual. He likes to practice game day rather than prior to the day before the game. But he made, it was a lot of battling, apparently, a lot of competing. And he was trying to coach. He was coaching in the playoffs, in practice, trying to get them going. He's made one small switch on the power play. Sounds like Tarasenko's going to unit one. Carter Hagee's going down to second group. He's trying to find something, I guess, as a coach. And if you were to be put into a situation where your team has lost three straight, whether it's first round or fourth round, but how much can you tweak? How much can you try to change a recipe that's worked pretty well to get you to this point here tomorrow night?
Well, I'm sure his focus is on trying to create offense, and how do they generate more offense than what they've done the last number of games? I think the most important thing for me in terms of the Oilers' ability to defend is to defend the play below the goal line, and they've got some big, strong players. To Chuck, Barkov, Bennett, that can make plays below the goal line. And we have to do a good job. The Oilers have to do a good job defending that. And, I mean, they're big, strong guys. It's going to be really hard to knock them off the puck. But you have to try and separate them from the puck from them. And you do that by having a good stick so they can't find the scorers. The Verhaeghes, the Reinhardt, Rodriguez, The guys that can put the puck in the net are the defense coming down on the backside. Ekman Larson, Montour. If we can do that, defend behind the goal line, I think that's really going to buoy our chances to win the hockey game. And you're right. I mean, I love listening to Paul Maurice. I mean, it's the voice of experience for sure. He's seen the game on a lot of different levels and a lot of different eras. And I just think that he's got a great perspective on coaching in these finals. And his team is going to be super prepared. I think part of his mandate will be to try and get them to loosen up a bit. I think they're pretty tight, and it's not getting any easier for them given the situation they find themselves right now. I mean, it looked like they were a lock to win the Stanley Cup, and now it could be a historic meltdown. I mean, I don't like to call it that because they put themselves in this position, and the Oilers also played incredibly well over the last three games, so they're a tough out. But I mean, that has to weigh on the psyche of the team for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. As I watched, the last three games, towards the end of the game, you look on the bench and you see the guys sitting there, Florida, that is, and they just look like shell-shocked. You know, it's kind of like some nights I used to have in Vegas, and I wake up the next morning like, what the hell happened last night? You know, like, but they actually have to watch it in real time. You know, they're like, this actually is happening to us. It's like a nightmare. And so I try to put myself in that position. Okay, what would I do to try to get out of that funk and not just be by my teammates? You know, you're trying to create energy. And I feel, Mac, and you can, chime in on it. I feel like right now the Oilers are rolling and they're looking for something good to happen, where Florida is reeling and they're looking for something bad to happen. Would you say that's a fair point, or does that maybe not carry from game to game as much as period to period?
Well, yeah, we're analysts and we got to analyze what's happening. And I mean, is it as easy as saying that? I mean, we could have easily won game one. I mean, we should have won game one. Bobrovsky he had an out of body experience in game one and stole the game. He looks vulnerable now, and the offense has dried up for them. It's going to be difficult, not impossible, but very difficult for them to turn the tide of emotion right now and the tide of momentum. I mean, the momentum's all with Edmonton. I mean, you just know that McDavid's going to score. He's going to produce offense. It's what he does, and it's what he continues to do. He's gonna produce, and I'm not sure. I mean, they have wonderful players too as well. They have some pretty significant depth on their team, but all signs to me point to an Oiler win unless something radical changes. The emergence of the third line has been absolutely critical. We've not had that ever in the last number of years where we have a high level of contribution from that third line. And they're going to be productive too. That Janmark's playing unbelievable hockey. I've never seen him play at the level that he's played. I mean, hockey is played best at a high emotional level, and he's got that right now. Connor Brown is an unbelievable story too to me. I mean, I might have given up on him, three quarters of the way through the season, and he just didn't have it. He didn't have the jump in his legs. Like, his legs were always his calling card. I mean, I saw him lots. I scouted. Toronto was one of my teams. I had like three or four pro teams that I scouted. and they were one of them, and I liked him. I mean, he couldn't not like him, but he just didn't have the jump in his legs, and now he's flying out there. And and Henrik, I've always liked him. He's a super intelligent player, and you know, the three of them are all experienced veterans, and they've just clicked together. And give them a lot of credit for the turnaround in this series. And I mean, the other thing that we haven't talked about is Mark Stewart and the penalty killing. I mean, the penalty killing has been incredible. And I thought right from the start of the playoffs that if we can kill the penalties, we're going to win, because you know that our power play is going to produce. And when you win the special team game, you generally win the series. But I never forecast the level of efficiency that our penalty kill would be at right now. And I give that Mark Stewart so much credit. Nobody hears. He doesn't say a word. No, I've not heard a word from Mark Stewart. He's just in the background, quietly guiding this team to a Stanley Cup championship.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've thought about it. I know this is a little bit premature, but when other teams see that penalty kill, I don't think he'll be like the third assistant coach on a team for very much longer. You know, like they're going to want, obviously, if you can do that, the penalty can do a lot of things. When I look at that penalty kill, Mac T, I see so much confidence. And you know, as a coach and as a player for sure, there'd be nights I jump over the boards. I'm like, oh, I'm killing this off. It doesn't matter who's over there. Then there's other nights I could be playing against 10-year-olds and like, oh boy, they're going to get some chances tonight. You know what I mean? Like but they look so confident. And it, you know, whether it's Janmark out there or if he's in the box or whatever, they're so confident. They all do their job and it's just pressure all out. And I love that style because I want to play on my toes. I don't want to just sit back and let these skilled players just pass it around me like I'm a pylon out there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, whenever I was doing a pre-scout for the opposition, if I was doing a pre-scouting their penalty kill, I mean, I always love to see a passive penalty kill because you know you're going to get chances. And I mean, Mark's really amped up the aggressiveness. Holding the blue line too as well. I mean, it's difficult for Florida. It has been difficult for Florida to get zone entries, and a lot of times they're forced to dump the puck because we've got three guys stacked across the line that are confronting the rush, and they don't have a McDavid like zone entry automatic that is so effective for us. I mean, he's tough to stop, but it's the zone entries that are a big part of it. And then the pressure points. There's pressure all over the ice, and I mean, they've done a brilliant job. We're plus one on our penalty killing versus their power play, which is just, I mean, unheard of. And he probably doesn't get enough credit, Mark Stewart, for the job that he's done, or Chris Knobloch coming in and, you know, really solidifying roles for guys like Ryan and Janmark. They're doing a great job in Fogle.
Before I let you go, I want to let you hear a clip. We haven't really touched on too much. 97. Let's get to our digital soundbox brought to you by Weiss Johnson. Dennis and the team at Weiss Johnson are giving away a free 16-seater air conditioner when the Oilers win the cup. Enter now at WeissJohnson.com today. Hit the contact us button and tell them who your favorite Oiler is, and you'll be entered into a draw to win a brand new air conditioner from Weiss Johnson. Hit it. Weiss Johnson. Okay, Mac, this is a couple I wanted. One is from Leon Draisaitl and his thoughts on what it means to have Connor McDavid in their lineup for tomorrow night.
Every game we go into, we know we have the best player in the world on our side, but this league is really, really hard to just go through one player or two or three players. You know, you need a whole team, and I think we've shown that over the last couple of years. We've taken big steps, but I think especially in this playoff run, you can see how big, for example, our penalty kill is. We've won so many games on this run strictly because of our penalty kill. It's not not so much our power play or our offensive guys, it's our depth and our penalty kill that wins us hockey games. But certainly it's a great feeling to have the best player in the world on your side.
So you touched a little bit on 97 and just, you know, what he means. But I honestly, like, if I had to pick one player in the league in one game, well, winner takes all, this is the guy I'm bringing in. And obviously for offense, but just his face, his intensity, the way he's playing both ends of the puck, like it feels like he will not be denied. That's how, when I watch him play, that's what I see. What do you see when you hear that clip from Leon and when you watch Connor play specifically these four rounds?
Well, I got a chance to spend a bit of time with Mark Messier, played a bit of golf with him when he was in town with ESPN. And I mean, nobody is a more accomplished leader than him. And just listening to his perspective on what he sees from Connor. And I mean, his observation was that Connor just wouldn't let the team fold or quit after being down 0-3. And, you know, the evolution of Connor's leadership is maybe as impressive as his physical attributes. I mean, he's an amazing hockey player, but I think the areas where he's really grown, in my observation, is in his leadership. And, you know, Mark, you played with Mark, and so you know the ways that he could affect the game. And Connor is doing that in similar style. I mean, when you're on the bench and Mark could send a message to the team in one shift, like, it's okay, it's time to get going here. just based on how intense he was, or physical, or offensive, or whatever the game needed, he could always deliver it. And Connor's the same. I mean, the effort that guy exudes every game is amazing. And if you're on that bench, you can't help but be inspired by it. And he's done a great job not only impacting the offense, but also in a leadership role too as well.
Last one for you, Mac, putting the coach's hat on. Recently, Chris Knobloch's gone to starting the third line that everyone admires, and they're such a huge part of this team. But game seven, do you start your captain or do you go back with the third line?
I do whatever Coach Knobloch thinks is best for game seven.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to, you know, admire his ability to push the right buttons on this hockey team. We certainly wouldn't be here without him, and some of the ballsy lineup changes that he's made over the course of these playoffs. And I think I'd be surprised if they don't go back with what's worked the last three games and start that third line. But, you know, it wouldn't be unlike him to do something different either. And either way, I think it'll be the right decision.
Mac, appreciate your time, buddy. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. The city's ready to cheer these guys on.
I can't wait to see it. I saw there's a bunch of Oiler fans chartering down to Miami. I mean, I remember in 2006 how devastated everybody was after the game. So we hope that there's not a reoccurrence of that, and we can become the city of champions again, Strud.
Nailed it. I think it's going to be a fun night for sure. So thanks for this insight, buddy. Enjoy it tomorrow.
Sure. All right. Ciao.
Thanks a lot. Craig McTavish. A former NHL player and obviously NHL head coach, and just a great all-around guy. Just an amazing, amazing guy, and great. Now turns attention to being an analyst here in our neck of the woods here, or Edmonton, I guess. Lots to come here still, Zuby, show. Yeah.
I got an idea. Why don't we do, I can go big box Zuby and we can do the poll and we can do relentless player. Yeah. And then, and then we'll hit the commercial and hopefully, Brownie's ready to join us.
Okay. Well, let's do that. Let's do our, let's start with the poll then. The DeBoer's poll brought to you by our good buddies over at DeBoer's, the golf shop and fitting center.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, hang on. I just got to get,
aim to help you play better golf with golf fitting instruction, after sales support. Oh. And golf merchandise and clothing. Celebrating 25 years, check out the Pro Style Shop atmosphere located at 5311 99th Street, Edmonton. I took my kids over there, and they were great to the kids. And you're doing a little bit different tonight for the poll, Zoobs. You're a wild or mad scientist, the old dog.
I am, yeah. I'm really interested to see. We've already got, I already posted it, so we've got some really good answers already came in. And we'll share some at the end of the show. But basically what I wanted to know is, what are people doing? What's the fan superstition? What are you doing this year? What have you done up until this point? Or maybe what have you just done in these last three games? Your superstition that you'll be carrying into game seven and doing exactly the same. And I'll ask anyone in the chat if you could just put the letters PQ in capitals for poll question at the start of your answer. It makes it easier for me to find, but lots of great answers. We're going to get to at the end, and I'll just tell you mine quickly, which mine's not very exciting, but I have an orange from the original, I think from the year McDavid was drafted. It's the current colors, but it's the orange jersey, the same blue, not the dark blue they went to for a while. I have that jersey and I've worn it starting before the game, not putting it on mid game for a momentum change or anything like that. I'm wearing it for the entire game, and I was at horse riding lessons with my daughter for the first period of game six, and I was out there in the blazing sun wearing my orange Oilers jersey because I said I can't screw this up for the team and for the fans. So that's all I'll be doing, my small part for game seven.
I love it.
You, Straight? Were you a superstitious player?
No, not really. No, I wasn't. I wasn't at all, actually. Even though I probably should have been, but I wasn't at all. So I think for me, what we did, we had a group of people over for game six at our house. And I asked all the same people to come back and have the same group of people together. I want to enjoy it. I want to enjoy this. I don't want the kids to enjoy it. Game sevens are rare, especially when it's your home city in it. And I want everyone to enjoy it together. So it'll be a good time. So get those coming in on the YouTube website, and if you're on there, hit the thumbs up button, give us some likes, give us some hearts, and tell a friend. We just broke through 5,000 subscribers, which is awesome, so thank you for everyone tuning in. Now let's do the relentless player brought to you by UCanU Services.
We got Brownie, so I'll pop him in here for relentless. Okay. And you guys finish out this segment.
Okay. Hey Brownie, great to see you. Rob Brown joining us here, just finished his 1,000th push-up. He's on 1,000 push-ups a week. So he just finished it up, so he was allowed to join us. If you're looking to hire entry-level staff for your company, UCanU Services trains youth in pre-employment skills to help them get ready, willing, and able to join your team. Check out www.ucan.ca for more information. Brownie, good to see you. Just had Mac T on. So I'm just looking around for relentless. And I think you're it's obviously an off night, but there's Mac T said something in when I was talking to him earlier, and it resonated with me. He said he was scouting for a while, scouting four or five teams, and one team was Maple Leafs. This is a couple of years ago, and he said he really liked the way Connor Brown played, as did I. And he saw him play this year; he had no pop in his legs, and now he's got the pop in his legs. So for that reason, because you think about it, this guy is like Andy Dufresne, crawled through a half mile of turds to get out of prison. And he did that, and it took him basically two hockey calendar years to get to where he is now, a massive part of the Oilers team and that third line. So I'm going Connor Brown, who took a ton of heat here, everywhere he took on, and here he is now playing amazing well. So congrats, an off night, relentless player for Connor Brown, Brownie.
Well, I agree. It's funny. Do you remember it was late in the season when he scores his first goal? There's something like the seventh goal in a blowout. And he got like a 7-minute standing ovation.
Right.
And
right.
I can't remember what team they were playing. They're all like, seriously, why are they cheering? But the fans stood by him in the rink and everyone was pulling for him. He's a likable guy. that went through a hard couple of years. But you try to think now of the Oilers' playoff run, what they would be doing without a Connor Brown or a Janmark or a Henrik or all of these role players who have stepped up at different moments. Connor Brown's been fantastic in the finals. And yeah, I mean, one more game. That's all it is right now. So there's going to be an unlikely hero in tomorrow's hockey game. Connor Brown could very well be that man.
I love it. I just want to get to this before we go to break. Brett Kissel, a country Western fan. We all know him. This is his tweet. Flight from Montreal to Vancouver on Air Canada. Montreal to Vancouver. Let that sink in. And a Let's Go Oilers chant starts. I'm immediately fired up. Now I'm on my plane from Vancouver to Edmonton. Within seconds of them shutting the door, a Let's Go Oilers chant starts. Like, that is crazy. Absolutely crazy. And so awesome. So let's hope that everyone enjoys themselves tomorrow night. Brownie, we're going to pause here. When we come back into takeaways, and I got a couple interesting little audio clips from the availability today we'll get to. So right back with Rob Brown and myself and Zuby next.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard-to-reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
On paper, my life looks exciting.
In reality, not so much.
Every day, it's same old, same old.
Clock in, clock out.
Then I discovered Play Alberta. I can play casino games anytime.
Bet on any game.
And buy lottery tickets anywhere in Alberta. I think my spleen is ruptured.
Roundy's back. Let's get into it. Takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Whether it's on land or on water or on the road, we hope you begin your adventure with us. Stop in today to view our full selection of quads, side-by-side, towboats, pontoons, fishing boats, sea-doos, motorcycles, e-bikes, apparel, accessories, and more. Visit them at our two Edmonton locations on the West End and South Side. Okay, Brownie, takeaways, and we want to hear from you, too, on the stream or on Twitter. Shoot us a tweet. Three things the Oilers have to do. Can you and I agree on three things that we're looking for the Oilers to have in their game tomorrow that are musts for them to have success at the end of the night? Do you have one on your mind? Because I got
well, I mean, the obvious one, Stuart Skinner. I mean, they need saves. Love it. That's love huge, especially early in the game. Now, I was expecting more from Florida in the first period than we saw in game six. So I would have to imagine that they were saving it for the first period of game seven. But if the Florida Panthers come out and play like they're capable of playing, Stuart Skinner's probably have to make a couple saves, because the biggest thing that the Edmonton Oilers want is a lead. The Oilers are good. The Florida Panthers talked about it. Kachuk talked about it, chasing. So a couple big saves early in the hockey game from Stuart Skinner is a big one for me.
Yeah, I love that one. The other one I'm going to use, and this is a little more technical, on a technical side, being above the puck. So make Florida work for everything they have. You know, Maxie made a great point that their coach, he's changed the lines a little bit. Not Tarasenko moved up to the first power play unit, Berhage down. So not like we're not talking crazy. Basically, he's looking for chemistry there or something different. But make them work for every chance they get, because they're searching for offense, to use MacT's word. And I thought that was so well done. So be above the puck, right? Everywhere on the ice, because they're going to, you know, they're going to have to – they'll have a little break and maybe their confidence is high, but Brownie, get above that puck, make them work for every single chance they get, because they're already not feeling good about them, their scoring ability. And if they, you know, if they keep that going, the longer the game goes and they maybe haven't scored, I think the old plums get a little bit tighter.
Well, I think you're right. And you just contest every shot. They're not getting good looks. And the biggest reason is the Oilers aren't making the big mistakes. Mistakes are going to be made. Both teams are going to make mistakes. Florida right now is making the bigger ones, because that's where you're seeing the breakaways and the two-on-ones and the odd man breaks. The Oilers are doing a good job not giving those up. So as you said, be above the puck. Don't allow them that odd man break where they might get a scoring chance. You force them to earn it. And I think that's the biggest thing that the Oilers have done lately is they're forcing the Florida Panthers to earn their space. If Barkov has an all-world moment like he did when he scored that goal, good on them. Barkov earned the goal that he scored.
Yeah.
But don't give them any freebies. So I think that's a really good one. And to me, the Oilers bend, don't break defensively. The Florida Panthers have had a couple shifts, even in the game they lost in game six, a couple shifts where they were in the Oilers zone for an extended period of time. But the Oilers kept them to the outside. It was a long shift in their own zone. It was 40 seconds, 45 seconds. But the Florida Panthers never got a good look. The Oilers would bend, but they wouldn't break. They didn't get a guy running out of position. They didn't have a player cheating, as you say, on the wrong side defensively. So defensively, play bend, don't break. And I think the Edmonton Oilers, tomorrow, and you talk about, this is a history-making game. This is a trivia question for years in the future. Which teams have come back from down 0-3? This is the biggest moment in, there's 40 players play tomorrow. There may not be a bigger moment than any of those 40 players ever play in the rest of their careers than they will in tomorrow night's hockey game. It's going to be so much fun. Strides, it's going to be so much fun.
I can't wait. So let's review our three things. Skinner mm-hmm. playing well, being above the puck, and then bending, no break in their own zone. Are we delinquent in not talking about scoring? Is that something that we should look at?
Well, we're not. The reason we're not talking about it because we feel fully confident that the Oilers are going to score.
Bang. Exactly. Because I wrote down a brainstorming list and I had not scoring goals, but like creating offense. And I was like, they are creating offense right now. Like that is not, to me, it's not that it's not important. I don't want to devalue it. But, if they take care of those three things, if they're able to do those three things we talked about, I feel confident they'll get at least one scoring chance to result in a goal. At least one.
Yeah. Well, I do too. And I think if they get a power play, I believe their power play is going to score a goal for them. I believe when the Florida Panthers get a penalty kill or when they get their power play, that they won't score. I mean, there's things that we've seen thus far, six games in, that you feel quite confident at. So the other things, here's what we need. But when you talk about goal scoring, here's what we expect. And we expect that at the end of the night, the Oilers, they're going to score three goals. I think the Florida Panthers to win are probably going to have to score four goals in the hockey game. And right now, I haven't seen anything they've shown in the last four games that they're capable of doing that. Having said all of that, Bobrovsky could have an out-of-world performance again. Or the Florida Panthers could get that lucky bounce or break they need. But right now, you have two teams with different types of confidence going into Game 7 tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I just... so excited to watch it. A lot of fans I know went down there, but it's going to be, the city will just be erupting prior to that game time. I can't imagine what it's going to be like down at Rogers Place. Okay, just got to one, another in the Weiss Johnson inbox. I want to get to Skinner. I just want to hear this quote, Brownie. Skinner talking about how they got to this spot, hit it.
We've had a lot of practice, having to push back. I think it was very much earned. We had to do absolutely everything in our power to get to this point where we are. And I'm sure Florida would say the exact same thing. It takes every single guy. It's literally taken every guy in our room to get into a position like this. And it's very exciting and it's very enjoyable to be able to be here.
So this is what I like about this, Brownie, is that they have earned it. Like the Oilers haven't waltzed their way into this final. Quite frankly, the whole year there seemed to be constant battles, right, all over the place. And they're so dialed in and just gritty. I believe grit leads to success. You can't just come out of nowhere and be easy. It's got to be hard. I think for them, it's been very hard. And they have earned this right to have a one-game chance to win a championship.
Well, I think that what the Oilers have faced a lot this year is adversity. And when you face adversity, you find out your true colors of a player, of a team. When things are going well, everybody does well. Everyone looks good. It's when things go sideways, you just start to see the character of players. And as a coaching staff, like, okay, here's where I can use this player. Here's where I cannot use that player. See, an example for me is last year, everything went right for the Boston Bruins in the regular season. Everything. They didn't have to face adversity. The first time they faced adversity was in the first round against the Florida Panthers, where all of a sudden, oh, wait, we haven't been in this position. There's nothing that the Oilers haven't seen this year,
right,
that Florida threw at them. Okay, we fell behind in a series. Oh, you should have seen how we started the year off. Oh, we're facing we're facing elimination. Oh, we did that twice already against the Canucks. Actually had to win game 7 in Vancouver. So I think the fact that the Oilers have faced adversity throughout the season and overcome it, that I don't think they thought that this was a big hole that they faced being down 0-3. No, we played good. We need a couple bounces. A couple breaks go our way, we'll be fine. So, yeah, I do believe that this team has earned it. And I agree with you, too. Florida's earned the right. Right now, however either team got to this point, both teams have earned the right for this. They win one hockey game. You're a Stanley Cup champion, remembered forever. So that's what makes this such an exciting next 24 hours. 24 hours from, well, probably right about now, somebody's going to be getting the Stanley Cup in their hands.
Yeah, you know what? I don't feel like it's going to be an overtime game. I don't know why. I just don't feel that way, Brownie. I don't know if you feel that way, but and I'm just, it's a wild prediction, but I just don't think there will be for some reason.
Oh, well, I mean, imagine the drama if it is, though.
Oh, God.
See, I'm doing the game with Ched, with Reed. We're doing it from the Stantec building downtown, overlooking the moss pit. It's going to be absolute bedlam down there. It's going to be so cool.
It's going to be crazy. So much. Have fun. All right. We have huge numbers on the stream and on Twitter. So thanks for tuning in. If you're on the stream, hit the thumbs up button. Everyone hit that thumbs up button. Get those thumbs up. We really appreciate it. We're going to pause. When you come back, Brownie's World and a sentimental story. Or sorry, Brownie Points and a sentimental Stratty's World. Next, stay with us, everybody.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
Spring is here, and if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maximo Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
That music means only one thing, everybody. Time for Brownie Point Spot, your good buddy's Hamel's Premium Jerky. If you're looking for a snack to bring to the next watch party, look no further than Hamel's Beef Jerky. Where 14 flavors to choose from and available in bison, turkey, and pork jerky and prime Alberta beef. For the month of June, $99 for 3 pounds of jerky with free shipping. Shipping to you anywhere in Alberta, hop on albertajerky.com to order yours and enter code Got Your Back for an additional 5% off. Brownie, you have the floor, my friend.
Well, all right, let's start this off. I've got 28 Brownie points for Connor Brown. This season started off with Connor Brown supposedly being Connor McDavid's winger. It did not go right. It got to the point where fans were hoping that they would cut him in the first 10 games to not have to pay a bonus. He endured a long year. He was a healthy scratch at times, but he's come on in this playoff to be such an important part of this team. So I'm giving 28 Brownie points to a guy that could be a difference maker come game 7. I've got 126 Brownie points. That's 97 plus 29. Leon and Connor have won everything in the National Hockey League. MVP scoring titles. They've scored 50 goals, 60 goals. They're missing one thing for their mantelpiece. Tomorrow night, they have one opportunity to add a Stanley Cup to the incredible resume that they already have. So here's 126 Brownie points to the two best players in the world, hoping they get it done tomorrow night. 74 Brownie points to Stu Skinner. I have heard on our show so many people say that the Edmonton Oilers cannot win a Stanley Cup with Stuart Skinner. One 60-minute performance, and Stuart Skinner could be a Stanley Cup champion goaltender. So I'm sending him love as well. I got seven Brownie points for Ken Holland. Many thought that he had failed when he built this team. Well, he's got this team one way away from winning Game 7 in a Stanley Cup. So I don't know if Ken Holland is back next year or not, but if he is not, if he's moving on, let's send him away with a Stanley Cup. And the final one, I have 5,000 brownie points to the Edmonton Oilers pilot, because it, with 5,000 brownie points, I believe it's about 5,000 kilometers from Florida to Edmonton. I think that should be enough brownie points to bring Lord Stanley's cup back to Edmonton tomorrow night after the game. So send in the Edmonton Oilers a lot of brownie points. Let's get it done.
And it doesn't have to be a checked baggage. Stan shouldn't be checked baggage. You should be able to walk on with that bad boy right away. I don't care if you're in that little compartment, an overhead compartment. Great stuff. No one, and Ken Holland, you know, it's funny. GMs get ripped when they don't do a good job, or people perceive the team's losing. And then when they're winning, no one wants to celebrate them, right? It's kind of an interesting moment for that.
A lot of it too, Strides, is the things he didn't do. There was no panic. That's right. He felt that this team was good enough, and he was right.
Patient. So patient. All right, Zoops, bring us into Strutty's world here, my man.
Here I am. Welcome, folks. Welcome to Strutty's World. It's time for Strutty's World, and Strutty's World is brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products with locations in Calgary and Edmonton. If you're a contracting business or contractor, let DLR help you add vinyl fence to your product line. Reliable, unmatched service with high-quality North American-made products. Visit DLRVinylProducts.ca. Where are we going tonight, Struds?
Well, I need you to keep rolling, because today Corey Perry, obviously he's been around. He's won, you know, a lot of different things, been a lot of different situations. And let's hear Corey Perry in another game seven, what he thinks it means.
You grew up as a kid playing on the street, Stanley Cup final, game seven. Now it's reality. And I don't think our mindset changes. It can't, because, you know, we've done some good things, but we haven't done anything great yet. And that's what we're looking for.
So I heard that clip today from Perry, and it's funny. He's so right, right? Like they've done an amazing thing, getting to this part of the year in the playoffs, doing well, winning three rounds, and then getting down three and winning three in a row. You know, winning, the difference between winning and losing is one game. Your whole year, what is 106, 107 games, comes down to one game. And if they win it, the story will be retold for 1,000 generations, right? They'll go on about this team, this other team that came back from 3-0 in the playoffs, final, the Stanley Cup final, to win it. Connor McDavid, this guy Connor Brown, like all these great stories. If they lose, it won't be the same way. So, you know, I'm using his words. They haven't done anything yet or anything great yet, but there's the opportunity to write an incredible story for themselves, their franchise, and their city if they get it done. So, you know, I think they'll be ready to go. You know, get a few bounces against you, whatever happens. You can't control that. But I love that by Perry. And I'm not saying that to be a downer brownie, but it is true. You know, you've got to finish the marathon. You got to get 26 miles. It's not 25.5. You got to make it through the final hurdle, or get through that final hurdle to really make this a truly incredible story. It would be an amazing story.
Oh, and we all followed it, and we want to see the final chapter written in the correct way. We want a happy ending. I loved how he said we did a lot of good things this year, but we haven't done anything great. And it's true. Winning a Stanley Cup, that's greatness. That's legendary. That's, you're cementing your I mean, a Connor and a Leon amongst the greats of all time with a great performance in game seven. And there'll be other heroes in tomorrow night's game, whether, you know, it's a McLeod, a Fogle, a Nurse, a Bouchard, a Cece. I mean, Cody Cece's Mr. Game 7. He scores in Game 7s. So there'll be something. But it'll be a nice story if the Oilers were to lose. It's a nice story. You know, they came back and they made it good. But it would be an incredible journey to be able to, at the end of the night tomorrow, to hold a Stanley Cup and say, look where this team came from November. Look where this team came, overcoming elimination games against Vancouver, and then being down 0-3 and everyone had written them off. The one thing that there was a lot of people that doubted that the Oilers were capable of doing this, their dressing room never did. This is an Oilers team that when they were down 0-3, they felt that they were going to win the Stanley Cup. And tomorrow night, they have that opportunity to go out and do it.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. I can't wait. I can absolutely wait for that tomorrow night. All right, let's step out here and take a lap, ask us anything, and then Gem of the Day are all next. Stay with us, everybody.
Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca. Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention is at RedefinedHealth.com.
The Brindley family has made it their mission to create the best-tasting flavored rums on the planet, and they've knocked it out of the park with their Shipwreck rums. Brewed off the small Caribbean island of St. Kitts, their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Their Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, giving it incredible smoothness. One sip and you'll agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy responsibly.
All right, let's bring this bad boy home with Taking a Lap, brought to you by our good buddies at Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. Just got even better. Engineered for back shaving, the new Friction Fit handle allows you to effortlessly snap the shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body. Go to backscape.com and use promo code GYB10 for 10% off your first order on any of the kits on their website. Stay smooth, gentlemen. All right, a couple things I want to get to here. Ryan Nugent Hopkins was ill today, or has been, or whatever, whichever one. He didn't practice today. Evander Kane came in and took a spot, Brownie. Two questions. A, how sick would you have to be to miss the Stanley Cup Game 7? And B, do you have any interest in finding a spot for Evander Kane? Because the coach said he'd be available, the coach being Chris Knobloch.
There's zero chance that RNH is missing this game. Zero. Zero. Like, I mean, it'd be one where you take out the cords or the tubes out of your arm at a hospital and get in a cab and get to the game. Is Game 7 Stanley Cup? Corey Perry said it right. When we were kids, it was never Game 4 of the Stanley Cup playoffs that we were playing. It was always Game 7 in a road hockey game. So RNH is playing. There's no question about that. Am I looking for a spot to put Evander Kane in? No. And it has nothing to do with Evander Kane. But the team that's playing right now has won the last three hockey games. They've earned the right to play Game 7. So I think RNH plays. I don't believe Evander Kane plays.
Yeah, it'd be tough to get him in there. And it's not that he doesn't deserve to be in there. He's just been injured, right? And the other group has done it. So I don't know. Holloway coming out is, I doubt it. McLeod, yeah, I don't know. It's not, I don't think it's Ryan. I don't think, it's definitely not the third line. So you're kind of, Perry's not coming out. Like, where do you go? You can't dress an extra player, right? So I think it's going to be tough. So I'm with you. And with Nugent Hopkins, like, there is nothing I wouldn't play through to play in this game. Like, it is like, you just, and I would do anything to play in this game if I was the Nuge, and he'll be there. And, you know, he still has not quite 24 hours, but you get the idea. He has time. You'll feel better. And, you know, usually you kind of kick around, but I hope there's no one else. You don't want to give it to anyone else on the team. That'd be
no
my
true.
One.
Well, the trainers will put him in a bedroom of his own in the hotel, but I heard they called the Brazilian national soccer team and got that special spray. Yeah, yeah. So all the Oilers will do the special spray before the game. They'll all be healthy for that game.
I love it. Just spray them out all you can take just to make it feel better, right over top of your shoe. And the next thing is, and this is something I mentioned to Mackie, and I want to get your thought. You know, Mark Stewart is kind of the third assistant. So it's Knobloch, it's Coffey, it's Gullickson, and then Stewart, right? Is kind of, I would classify him as the third assistant coach. And that's not to be disrespectful, but if you're charting it, that's what I see. The way that he has worked with this penalty kill, I have a hard time envisioning a situation where he is still a third assistant coach, whether it's short-term or long-term. Like, I think that he has made a loud statement to the league that, hey, I am going to be a good coach. I don't know if head coach, but at least an assistant coach with a portfolio underneath him. I know he has a penalty kill, but maybe he wants to do more. I don't know. And I'm not saying he has that happy or anything, but I think that when you win, everyone wants to poach people off your group.
Yes.
And that is a guy to me, Brownie, that if I'm looking at it and I can get him, you know, because again, he's a third assistant coach. So I doubt the money is in line with what the first and second coaches are getting. In fact, I know it wouldn't be. That to me is a prime guy that could get cherry picked off this Oilers squad, win or lose.
Well, you look at the Oilers specialty teams. I think Gullickson runs the power play and the great power play, but they got Connor and Leon and Nuge and Bouchard. So, I mean, he's got a lot of incredible talent to play with. I don't care who. My mom could run the power play for the Oilers. She could be the coach and they still have a successful thing. Now, Gullickson does great things with it, but he's got a lot to work with. On the back, and this was a terrible penalty killing unit, has been for a number of years. To me, the biggest reason that the Oilers are in the Stanley Cup Finals has been the play of their penalty kill.
Yeah,
Connor's always great. Leon's always great. Their power play always scores. Bouchard, all these things have always been there for the Oilers. But their penalty killing, I mean, it's game-changing. And two of the games that got shorthanded goals in, those are killers for the opposition. So what the job he's done with the penalty killing unit has been as maybe not as good a coaching job as Knobloch has done, because that's pretty special, but it ranks right up there. Because he's changed this Oiler penalty killing unit to how he wants it to be done, and the success they're having has allowed them to play in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
This is what I'm going to say right here. I think that what we might see happen is Stewart move into Coffey's role, and I'm not sure where Coffey goes, maybe back up to wherever he was. Because honestly, man, if I was another team and I'm looking for an assistant coach that can run the D and the penalty kill, I'm staring at that guy. That's the guy that I'm poaching. And I think you could get him because he's a third assistant coach here, right? Mm-hmm. I believe that teams let him move up. So
that's something good point.
I'm not looking to create controversy here. I'm just telling you, Oilers fans, people poach from good teams, right? That's what they do to teams that won. So.
Yeah, you heard it right here on Got Your Back. Jason Strudwick said Paul Coffey is gone.
No. I got to be careful, but I think that, you know, you got to look at it. We got to think about that. And we're literally 2 days away from the end of the season. Okay. If you're on the YouTube stream, get on and hit the thumbs up button, the like button. Tell us how you feel about it. Give them the like button. It would be great. If you're tuning in and you haven't subscribed, hit the subscribe button right beside it, right below Brownie. So thumbs up button and subscribe button right beside it would be great. Okay, let's move on now to hear what you want to talk about, what's important to you, our listeners. And we love all the engagement tonight. Great numbers, and we love sharing this with you. It's been a great ride. Ask Us Anything brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Renee Bouclet of Maxwell Devonshire Realty. She's loving this run. Renee is all about amazing service for a client. Buying a house is a big deal. You need someone you can trust and who you know is working 24/7 to either sell your home or help you find a new one. Call Renee at 780-994-0280. Get in here, Zoobs. What do you got for us, you old dog?
Oh, where am I? Here I am. Just my audio is here. We're having that same issue with the YouTube thing. Happened just at the same exact time yesterday. It's YouTube only. If people can still hear us, what you can do on YouTube is just manually skip back like 30 seconds and it's good. It's just, like a bottleneck at the point of, but it's fine on X and that works here. And otherwise you could just watch it when we're finished up here in 10 minutes. Okay. I wanted to actually go in on the poll question first, if that's cool, because we had so many great contributions. So the poll question tonight, Brownie, I don't think you're on here yet. The poll question tonight, I asked people on the stream, what's going to be your Game 7 superstition? What have you been doing? What's been working for you? What have you done all year or just in the last three games? And we had some great answers, some along the lines you might expect, but I'm going to throw a few of them out here really quick. Paul Wood said, my superstition is to eat the same food and snacks from the last win. I've been eating steak and KD for the last three games, and I will again tomorrow, so that's a pretty good one. Brian Jackson said, I wear my lucky boxers and grow my playoff beard. Quaddy says, this is a good one. We know Quaddy is in Bali. He says, I always crack my first beer when the second period puck is dropped. Oh, and by the way, it's 9 a.m. in Bali when he's doing that. Zulu said, I had to take my Ryan Smith jersey out of its case after game 3 and wear it. And I also had to quit gambling on the Oilers. That's worked so far. Penner's Pancakes has a good one. He says, my routine's been to walk to the golf club house, have two tall Caesars and a perfectly cooked chicken burger as my pregame meal. Let me get to, there were a couple others. Charlie Dufault said, we'll be glad to finally take a shower after this series. Along the same lines, Dean McCullough said, I haven't changed my underwear since June 15th. There's another good one too. Smitty the Welder says, I shaved my beard of a few years after game three. Let's go, Oil. So we thank lots of these people for their service. Two more I want to get to. Sherry Frazzy, a friend of the stream, says, I wear my blue McDavid jersey and homemade Let's Go Oilers and Play La Bamba Baby bracelets. Or when I was working, all blue scrubs with my bracelets. Let's go. And this last one from Ginny Sabunia, who's my mom, says, husband wearing his Ryan Smith jersey for the last three games. So that's my dad. By the way, I didn't even know my dad had a Ryan Smith jersey. So that's pretty cool. But my brother's a big jersey head, so I'm sure that's where it came from. All right, let's get to some questions here. A quick thought on this. I brought this up a couple of days ago. Shane Matheson brought it up again. He says, Game 7 CeCe. Now, Cody CeCe has goals in two recent, he had a goal in the game 7 against LA. He had a goal in from a couple, you know, a year or 2 years ago, and he had a game 7 goal against Vancouver this year. You want a handicap? How about something to play, a bet to play or something with long odds? How about a goal from Cody CeCe? What do you think that would do for the team in game 7 again?
Well, if you're getting a goal from Cody CeCe, that's a source you don't normally get from. That helps. I mean, that's something an unknown or an uncommon goal scorer. Find him early struts. You see CeCe open, you get him the puck. I mean, he's magic in game sevens. To me, the one of the big reasons the Oilers are in game 7, game 6, the Florida Panthers shut down Connor and Leon to the point of 1 point. They had 1 point, the two superstars in a game, and the Florida Panthers couldn't win that hockey game. The Oilers are getting contributions from other players in the lineup, and that's what they'll need in game 7 as well. And if they get players scoring that aren't named Leon or Connor, that goes a long ways for them winning a Stanley Cup.
Okay, Nuckbo says, Florida is backed into a corner for the first time these playoffs, and I expect it's going to be a wildly different team they face tomorrow. Davin pointing out also, Florida's going to play desperate, or going to have to play desperate, for the first time in the playoffs. How different of a team does that or can that make them, Strutty?
Yeah, I made the point in a previous podcast, they're also learning. Right, what it's like to play in this situation. They're growing, and they're going to be a dangerous team. Like, tomorrow's going to be a really hard game to win. I thought game 6 was going to be the hard one. This one will be even harder, right? It's just they're figuring it out on the fly. So, Oilers fans, this is not going to be a cakewalk. Or we should do not expect a cakewalk. But I believe scoring your first for the Oilers is mighty important in this game tomorrow.
Brian Jackson says, just a statement, there is no way Connor and Leon will let this team lose tomorrow. I mean, we've talked, you know, we had the other players talking about Connor. Is there a part of you that feels like there's that Connor, if he has to, he's shown that he can do it, will take it on his back tomorrow if he has to be a one-man team to drag them across the finish line? Brownie, do you get that feeling at all?
Well, I don't think he needs to be a one-man team because I do believe the whole team will show up. But players that are great for a reason. They come through in the biggest moments. I mean, you think of all in football, not Mahomes, how great he is in Super Bowls. Michael Jordan, when he was with the Bulls. I mean, all the great players. I mean, Reggie Jackson was always Mr. October because every year in the playoffs, he hit home runs. That's why they become great. Sidney Crosby, the world's best player at the time, scores the golden goal for Canada. So I believe that Connor McDavid is going to have a fantastic game 7. It might not just show up on the score sheet, but I believe he will be his most dangerous self. It might be his best game in the playoffs tomorrow night. And yeah, that's one of those things that when Strutty and I were doing things, what the others need to do, that to me would be an expectation that Connor's going to be great because it's a big moment.
Obelisk says, does the Oilers power play make its presence felt? History indicates maybe one call each way in game 7 based on the last several years. So in all likelihood, power plays are going to be at a premium. Do you think the Oilers power play cashes in or makes a big impact tomorrow night, Strutty?
If I was listing the top five things that'll make an impact, I don't think I'd put their power play in there because I think you're right. Opportunity might not be there. Too many, like, you know, you get one, are you going to go one for one? I guess it's possible. I think this is going to be more of a 5-on-5 game, Brownie. You know, heading into the to a tighter game, the refs probably aren't going to call those borderline ones, or even slightly over borderline.
I agree. I think it's got to be an earned penalty. I mean, it's something that's going to there's a chance of injury, or it's a goal scoring chance being taken away.
Yeah,
I don't think the referees want some iffy 50-50 call to be the one that decides which team wins the Stanley Cup. So I agree with you. I do believe the Oilers' power play will have an impact, but they need to get on the power play to do that. But if the Oilers get three power play chances in the game, I believe they will score a goal on their power play.
Okay, let's get I got one more here and then a couple of comments I want to throw out. Davin says, I think Paul Maurice and his players have been lying to themselves. That's all he said. That's just a statement. What do you think about the do you think his message, I'm sure I get the feeling from Paul Maurice, the message in the room is a heck of a lot different message than he's putting out to the media. But what do you think about the way he's been handling the media in this series, and just kind of like, what's his message in the room? How is it different, and how does it need to change? What's he telling them for game 7?
Go ahead, Stretz.
Yeah, what you're saying in public is always what you say behind closed doors. I think that right now, Paul Maurice, the biggest issue he has is to get his team to believe they can win game 7. Mm-hmm. And not because I don't think that they're good enough or they don't have the talent, but they're shell-shocked. And they're reeling. I really feel that. We can talk about the arrogance of Tkachuk or the length of career of Sergei Bobrovsky, but they've just lost 3 in a row, and they've lost it 18-5. You know, so even take away the empty enders, it's like 14-15-5. They have been destroyed in the Stanley Cup playoffs in 3 games, which they were up 3-0. So I think getting them to believe and creating energy is the 2 challenges he has. So, you know, it sounded like in practice that he was barking at him and kind of swearing and all that stuff. Maybe he's trying to shock him out of it. But I honestly would be hugging them and telling them how good they are, showing them videos of what they're doing and how they've done so well. Like anything to get them to believe how good they are, so they can walk on that ice and say, you know what, we are good and we can do it.
Okay, a couple quick comments here, and then I got one short one I'm going to throw at you guys. Seal Acosta said, I've been following your podcast since early this season, from Settlers of Catan to tomato soup without water or milk. This podcast has been amazing. Thank you for everything you did this season. Bobo Fett said, huge thanks to the Got Your Back team for incredible smart analysis and discussion through this playoff run. No one even close with the NHL experience and credibility you guys deliver. Thank you. So thank you, of course, to all of the viewers. It's been amazing. It's not done yet. We've got tomorrow night. We're going to cover, I'm sure there's going to be a fair bit in the days that follow, regardless of the outcome, heading into the draft and free agency and all that stuff. But big thank you to all of our listeners and viewers on all the platforms. Okay, here's the last one. This is for me. I just want to know, if you're the coach tomorrow of either team, you're down one goal in the third period, what time left on the clock are you trying to pull your goalie?
Well, it depends where a faceoff is. It depends who's fresh for your group. If with 2 minutes and 40 seconds and it's Connor and Leon's turn on the ice and you have a faceoff in the offensive zone, you think about it. This is for the Stanley Cup. It's like that's your ace in the hole. You don't want to have an ace left over and all of a sudden you don't get that chance. What if you don't pull your goalie then? What if you don't get another faceoff in the offensive zone? So to me, it's all situational. And nothing is off the board when it comes to when you pull the goalie.
You nailed it, but I can't do anything better than that.
What's your ballpark to in your mind? 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 90 seconds?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I when I have complete control of the puck and I get my big guys out there, I'm pulling them. That's just like Brownie. Like that's kind of the way it is. So let's say that they ice it with whatever, 2:45 left or whatever, 2 minutes. And I can put on my big guys, I'm pulling the goalie. Bang. Just like, I don't even hesitate. Out the door they go.
100%. You got to remember too, Florida has a third line out there, had been out there for 40 seconds. They ice the puck with 2:45 to go in the period. I'm doing it then.
Yeah.
Get my best players out there against the entire group. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Don't call it. Get out there, line up. We're dropping that puck in 10 seconds and get them out there. And then if there's a stoppage, then you call the timeout. But otherwise, you're trying to catch them with their pants down.
Okay.
All right, boys. That was great. Let's get to our gem of the day brought to you by Play Alberta. Get ready, Oilers fans, during the finals, and this is the end of it. Make a deposit with your promo code GYB50 to snag a 50 free sports bet with your next deposit. Get ready for unbeatable promotions throughout the finals with 10 plus odds boosts on every Oilers playoff game. Score a chance to win amazing prizes like season seats for 2024-2025 or five pairs of seats to five separate Oilers games for next year. Just by making a bet on an Oilers playoff game at playalberta.ca. Bonus terms and conditions apply. I'm going to steal this from Greg McTavish, and I'm going to paraphrase. He said when he looks back at that last one in 2006-2007, he goes, I'm more upset now than I sorry, 2005-2006. I'm more upset now about it than even the night it happened, because I wasn't able to get a championship for Pisani, for Ryan Smith, for Hemsky, for Steve Staios, all those guys. And it's such, I love hearing him say that. I know it's got to hurt him because he has one, right? But to hear him say that, and you want to do it together. So this is the last game this group will play together ever. It'll be different next year. It's going to change up. But if you win, you're always together. You're a champion forever together. So I think that, that's a message that can be dropped into the soup tomorrow before the game, Brownie, from our buddy Nobby.
100%. Oilers in seven. You heard it here first. Got your back.
Nailed it. All right, boys. Thanks for this. We'll be back tomorrow night post game. Win or lose, wear your lucky stuff. Have fun and enjoy this, guys and girls. It's been a great run. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow after the game.